Namaste and Hari Om. This is your host, Kishore Trivedi, welcoming you to today's episode of Know Your Dharma program on Radio Naira. This radio program is a collaborative project between Radio Naira and the Hindu Society of North Carolina, or HSNC. All the past recordings of these audio clips can be found on the KYD tab of hsnctemple.org website. Today, I am very happy to introduce our guest, Laura Cappelletti. Laura is the Assistant Dean of Academic Technologies in Duke University School of Law. And the topic today is Laura's journey into yoga practice or yoga abhyas, practice of meditation, and vairagya and detachment. So let's first start by asking Laura to briefly introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here today talking about yoga philosophy. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I've been living in Cary, North Carolina for about 30 years now with my husband and three children. I'm joining you today from my office at Duke University, where I've worked for the past 4 years after a long career in corporate software development.
Wonderful. Laura, how long have you been interested in yoga?
Well, I'm 60 years old now, and I was first exposed to yoga as an exercise class in my 20s. So I've been practicing on and off for about 40 years.
Wonderful. Do you have any health concerns that motivated you, your practice from an exercise perspective?
Yes, actually, I've been a manager in technology organizations for over 30 years now. So that's a lot of time hunched over a computer keyboard. And also my hobbies are music. I play the flute and the piano a little bit, and I do a lot of knitting and cooking. And so all of that involves a certain amount of upper back and neck strain. So at one point, when I was in my 40s, I was doing my MBA here at Duke and working full time and keeping up with three kids in middle school. And the pain was so bad. I tried many treatments, including chiropractic, physical therapy, acupuncture, massage, electrical stim, ice and heat, etc. And I was diagnosed with degenerative osteoarthritis in my thoracic spine. And I was finally able to increase the mobility in that area and relieve the pain by using this method called Miracle Balls by Elaine Petrone. And those are just small rubber balls that you lie on and just relax and rest and let your weight sink into them. So that helped me a lot. But when I finished that degree, I was motivated to restart my yoga practice in order to focus more on health and fitness in general. So what I did is I just Googled and I found this teacher called Subhash Mittal and his Integral Yoga Studio in Morrisville, where I started with one of his weekly introductory classes. And we have been good friends ever since.
Yeah, in fact, he's a blessing for this area to have someone like that who is so deeply into not only practice of yoga, but also the theory behind it.
Absolutely.
So how did your yoga journey progress then?
Well, I'll tell you, I am not a morning person by nature. But I took the occasional classes with Subhash. He starts those at 6 a.m. And I did a couple of the 21-day intensive programs where I was happy to learn more about the limbs of yoga beyond just the asana practice. So Subhash likes to focus a lot on pranayama, the breathing techniques, and also on introductory sessions about meditation. I also started attending his Wednesday evening class that he does at the Hindu Society of North Carolina, and he's still teaching that class after 20 years or so. And I participated in monthly yoga lectures and a semi-monthly yoga study group. And I also attended three of Subhash's weekend retreats, which is a great way to meet other interesting and inspiring speakers such as yourself, Kishore. And then the next one is scheduled for next May, the 11th to 14th next year. So I wanted to put in a plug for that. All are welcome to attend the retreat. It's a beautiful setting out in, at the beach in North Carolina.
Yes, indeed. I would second that. My wife and I both went to that retreat last year, in this May, and it was wonderful meeting, not only practicing and learning, but also meeting this wonderful group of people. So you mentioned Yoga Sutra study group, and I've participated off and on in that. What are some of the key points from the Yoga Sutra study group that you learned?
Yes, it's very interesting. We met regularly, reading and discussing mainly four translations of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali with the commentaries. These are texts by Swami Satchidananda, Hariharananda Aranya, with the Bhasha of Vyasa, which is the very standard commentary on the sutras. And then a third one by Dr. I.K. Taimni, which you can find online. It's a free PDF. And then the fourth one we studied is the Edwin Bryant text on Yoga Sutras. So, you know, all four of those are good resources, and there are many more. You can find these online, but it's important to get a real, you know, serious study book about the Yoga Sutras, because it is such a deep subject. I joined the group after they had already been studying for a few years, and it was another 10 years before we finished even the first pass through the material. Now that same group continues to meet, studying the Sankhya philosophy, which is another one of the six Shadarshanas, which is a very key underpinning to the yoga philosophy.
Yeah, in fact, the Yoga Sutra by Maharshi Patanjali is very deep, and it takes, as you pointed out, a lot of effort, maybe collective effort to try and understand. And so did you learn any Sanskrit, or was Sanskrit an impediment to understand and study Yoga Sutra?
Yes, well, most of the students in the study group do not know Sanskrit. Subhash does know Sanskrit very well, so that is helpful to hear the actual pronunciation of the words. And I was fascinated by these Yoga Sutras, as there is so much meaning packed into these 195 very terse aphorisms. So I felt compelled to try to learn the pronunciation and the meaning of some of the individual words, just to help deepen my understanding, to let it sort of soak in. If you know what the words really mean, just, you know, as a grammar perspective, then it helps understand the meaning that way. So I signed up for the Samskrita Bharati course at the HSNC. And I'll tell you, that was quite shocking. It was very delightful. It was a real immersion experience for me. I was the only Westerner in that classroom, and not knowing any script or any other Indian language, I was at a great disadvantage there. But the teacher spoke only Sanskrit with us, and the other students helped me out a lot, and we really laughed together, and we even put on a play at the end of the semester. And so I got to play Shweta, you know, the one. And we performed that for the audience and had a really good time. So I did that class, and then I said, well, I need to really start with the basics in, you know, the language itself, the grammar, and get some kind of a textbook, right, rather than just the speaking. So I came across this book called The Cambridge Introduction to Sanskrit by Antonia Ruppel. So I ordered that text, and I joined a group on Facebook who was reading the initial draft version of that textbook. And then I discovered that Antonia was teaching a course on the Yogic Studies platform. And I enrolled in that, and I took all three of the level one series and enjoyed that very much. Dr. Ruppel is a fantastic teacher, and she is a real linguistic scholar. So she can help you understand where the language is coming from, and what is that based on, and what other languages are based on Sanskrit, and how do they relate together, and very serious linguistic expert. So also that Yoga Studies platform was perfect for studying alongside others remotely during the pandemic. And they offer a variety of courses related to yoga. And it's fantastic if you want to look up yogic studies on the internet too. Seth Powell offers podcasts as well. Mm-hmm. So with that rudimentary level of language training, I was able to read and almost memorize the 51 sutras in the first chapter of the Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And then, you know, really, it's been a long journey. After 17 years of doing this kind of study, I feel like I've just begun to explore the subject. There's so much to learn, and it really is engaging. And I look forward to, you know, continuing on this journey.
Now, it's amazing that you would get into Sanskrit, not only Yoga Sutra, but Sanskrit like this, and really persevere. And so that's just fantastic. It's unbelievable that both Sanskrit courses and the Yoga Sutra Patanjali that you are sticking by.
Well, I only know just a little bit, like I said.
I know, same thing with respect to my own experience, that I've been studying Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads and a little bit of Yoga Sutra. It will take many lifetimes before you really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, you said that you have memorized a good deal of the first chapter of Yoga Sutra. But would you like to comment on a particular sutra that has touched you the most?
Sure. One that I have been thinking about quite a bit, which involves how we relate to other people, is in chapter 1, Sutra 33. And it goes like this: Maitri Karuna Mudito Pekshanam Sukha Dukha Punya Apunya Vishayanam Bhavanataha Chitta Prasadanam. Mm-hmm. And this means undisturbed calmness of the mind is attained by cultivating friendliness toward the happy, compassion toward the unhappy, delight in the virtuous, and indifference toward the wicked.
Beautiful, beautiful, yeah.
So on a scale of how annoyed we get with others, one should go only as far as indifference, never to anger, never get upset with other people. So a lot of discussion takes place around this one in terms of how we should react when we meet people on the street or in traffic, or whether you should intervene when you come upon someone hurting another person. And that's all fine. We can understand it in that context. But where I find this most challenging is not in the context of random strangers or chance encounters, but in the realm of those close family relationships that can be difficult.
How true.
Yes, it's very difficult. So if your loved one is exhibiting bad behavior, for example, you should attribute that to their own suffering rather than that they are intentionally trying to hurt you or cause problems in the family. And so this is what we need to keep in mind when we cultivate compassion. And, you know, I've not mastered it yet. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and it's still quite difficult.
But if you remember, each time there is an impulse to get angry, if you remember this sutra.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's very helpful. And this is related to another very important sutra about practice and non-attachment being the way to restrain mental modifications. So this is number 12, Abhyasa Vairagyabhyam Tanirodaha. And this one is to understand how to be detached from everything really in life. And it's hard when you think about your spouse and your children. How do you become detached from even your family? This is difficult. I think it's easier as we age and we have fewer day-to-day responsibilities. We can focus more on being, you know, sort of studying and being cerebral and not having to be involved in every encounter with the family. It gets a little bit easier, but it's still very interesting and tricky.
Yeah, so in Vairagya, they talk about three levels. One is from the material possessions or material things. Second is emotional. Mm-hmm. And third is intellectual. And as you pointed out, emotional is very hard. Detachment from your children or spouse and so on. But, you know, the thing to remember is that when you, every one of us is going to die. And when you die, you're going to leave everything behind, right? So,
yes.
Vairagya is a sort of a practice.
Yes.
At that point, otherwise there will be a sudden change, right? If you are so attached to everything, and all of a sudden you have to detach from everything at that point in time.
Right. Maybe. Even these yogis who are very adept, they develop, you know, superpowers and very unique capabilities. And they say that we're supposed to be detached even from that, even from your yoga practice.
That's right.
You should be detached.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. It's hard, but one should remember these things whenever possible, whenever needed. So what are your goals for your practice going forward, Laura?
Well, I have recently reestablished my daily practice. I am working full time, so I don't have a lot of time in the morning, but I try to spend about 30 minutes doing asana practice and about 10 minutes doing pranayama exercises on 4 days a week. And then when I'm home on the weekends, I can spend a little bit more time and do a bit longer practice. And I'm trying to include more meditation in my practice. I do really need the stretching and strengthening, like I was saying, just to keep healthy and keep flexible. And I do some walking and a little bit of swimming too. But I would like to be able to spend more time in meditation. So I think that is the challenge. Now, my teacher, Subhashji, advises prioritizing meditation over even the asana and the pranayama practice. He says this is the most important part. So we should get up earlier and practice meditation first. And then if we have time, do the exercise part. Of course, he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. So I don't think I can ever achieve quite that level of dedication. But
yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And he also never gets angry. So that is
right.
Another right. thing that to achieve, try to achieve someday in the future.
Very calm. Exactly.
So, Laura, what advice do you have to others who are not of Indian origin regarding the difficulty of such a deep immersion into yoga and meditation as you have managed?
Yes, well, you know, I advise people to just get started and don't worry about how deep you can or cannot go in the practice or how much time you necessarily have to devote to the practice. But, you know, just start and do something. Just do a little bit of something and then, you know, it's all good. It really is.
And typically, many people are, they start with yoga as an exercise, and then slowly they realize that there is meditation, then there is a yoga sutra and so on. So they slowly get into these other aspects. Laura,
yes.
Thanks very, very much for taking the time to do this interview. And your progress, is astounding, all the stuff you've done.
Oh, it's been my pleasure to be with you, Kishore. Thank you so much for doing the radio show. I think it's wonderful.
You've been listening to Know Your Dharma program on Radio Naira. It airs at 7 p.m. every Monday. This radio program is a collaboration project between Radio Naira and the Hindu Society of North Carolina. All the past recordings of these episodes can be accessed at hsnctemple.org, KYD web tab, in the bottom table. Thank you and talk to you next week.